All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Today we're going to kind of pick up where we left off from our last study, and we're going to title this, The Greatest Reward is God. That's the greatest reward that anybody could ever receive, the greatest inheritance one can receive. And, we're just going to get started reading here we'll just start in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 1, and we're just going to reread a couple of verses that we read already. But here it goes. The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire, those offerings that were offered on the altar of God, and his inheritance. Therefore, they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he has said unto them. And you can have no greater reward than that. And in this study, we're going to kind of talk about what that means. I don't know if we're going to really completely understand all of what it means. But we're going to dig into it and search. And we just pray for understanding from Almighty God as we do this, as we research and try to understand what it means to inherit God, because it will be the overcomers, as is recorded in Revelation chapter 20, 1 through 4, or 4 through 6, that will be priests of God and of Christ for 1,000 years. They will be given the inheritance that originally belonged to the Levites. And we talked about that in our last study, but here we go. Verse 3, and this shall be the priest's due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep, and they shall give unto the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the maw. In other words, the priest would get, the priest or the minister would get various portions of the animal for his wages from the people. Because why? Well, the people had land that God gave them to tend and to till and to make a profit from. The Levites, the priests, didn't have that. They didn't have that opportunity. Their duty was to study and to teach God's word full time. That's where they were to spend all of their energies and purpose. And it was up to the people to support that, to keep it going so that they could get the word of God. And this was done through tithes, offerings, and so forth. But notice it says, the priests do. You know, after we started the Daily Manna, which is a members-only blog, and it's only $15 a month, I've gotten several letters from people saying, hey, I don't think you should charge a fee for people to study God's word. But you know what? Tithes and offerings, like it says here, the priests do. These things are commanded in the Bible, and it seems we've forgotten that in Christianity today. And that's one of the reasons we decided to charge for the Daily Manna. And keep in mind, we already give, all of our videos are done for free. Anybody can access them. Our weekly blogs, prophecy blogs, and a question and answer form, all those things are free. So we decided, since we wanted to follow God's laws, hey, these things must, to be able to keep a ministry running, to keep it, to get it to grow and to flourish, it needs the tithes and offerings from the people. Therefore, we just required a very small tithe or offering of $15 a month. And that's why we do that. I know some people still don't understand. They think that everything should be given for free. Nothing is for free. Like we said, hey, in God's word, the general or the central theme of being a Christian is sacrifice, is tithes, offerings, love, is doing work for Almighty God, or translating that work into a tithe or an offering. And that's just the way it is. Anyways, we won't belabor that point or talk more about that, but I know some people question that, and that's why, because it is biblical and it's God's law. It teaches people to be a part of something, to do something for the Lord, to take a little bit of what's theirs and sacrifice it so that God's kingdom, his work can be done. His word could be can be taught. Verse 4, the first fruit also of thy corn. Now this was under the old law, and these things still apply to Christians today. The first fruit, and it's not, obviously, we're not all farmers and all that. It's done differently. It's done by the tithing. The first fruit also of thy corn and of thy wine and of thine oil and of the first of the fleece of thy sheep, thou shalt give him. Okay? For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all the tribes to stand and to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. That's how the Levitical priesthood survived. Again, were they just sitting around doing nothing? No, they were working hard. In fact, they probably worked just as hard or even harder than a lot of the farmers did. They were continually doing God's work. And that was their due to them. Verse 6. Again, this, when you look at these things, translate them into the future for yourself. Apply them to today as well, because they do apply today, but apply them into the future, because you someday will be a priest. You may not be a minister or teacher right now, I mean, but you're a Christian, you plant seeds and so forth. But if you're an overcomer, you will be a priest of God for 1,000 years and into the eternity. And that's why you kind of need to understand these things, because they do apply. Verse 6, and if a Levite come from any of thy gates out of all Israel, where he sojourned, and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose. Again, now we're talking about just a regular Levite here. We're not talking about one of the sons of Aaron. We're talking about, because again, like we covered in our last study, Numbers chapter 18 goes into it in a little bit more detail. But the entire tribe of Levi was dedicated to God. That was his portion. They were to do his work. But it was the sons of Aaron that were to do the priestly duties. They were to tend the altar. They were to do the sacrifices and other priestly duties. And while the regular Levites did more of the other outside duties, the duties with the congregation, setting up the tent of the tabernacle and so forth. They were doctors, lawyers, you name it. But he's saying, hey, if one of those come with all the desire of his mind and he wants to be a priest, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God as all his brethren, the Levites, do, which stand before the Lord. In other words, do not prohibit what God is saying. Do not, if somebody really has a strong burning desire to teach God's word, don't prohibit him from doing so just because he's not a son of Aaron. If he's dedicated and he wants to do that, he should be allowed to do that. And, you look at, that's really how many ministers and pastors become priests, so to speak, today, is because they have that burning desire to teach God's word. And more importantly, many of them are, every teacher should be actually called by Almighty God to do it, to have the Holy Spirit upon them, to move them to that place where they can stand before the Lord and to teach his word. Verse 8, they shall have like portions to eat beside that which cometh of the sale of his patrimony. In other words, they shall be given the same portions, the same income as that of the priests from the tithes and offerings of the people. And that's how that would work. Let's talk a little bit about what it means to have God as your inheritance. Because we looked at some of those verses, in our last study. And we never really went into what it exactly means. Well, one of the duties of the priests, actually, let us turn to Ezekiel chapter 44, and I think that'll help give us an idea of this, and then we'll kind of move on from there. And then we're going to move on to a prayer that Christ made to the Father that I believe really does give us a great deal of that answer, what it means to be in the presence of God, or to say what it means to inherit God. Ezekiel chapter 44, and for those of you who are unfamiliar with these chapters at the end of Ezekiel, they deal with the millennial kingdom. In other words, they are still future. They had, you know, historical types and examples, historical applications, but they look forward to the time when Christ returns to this earth and sets up his millennial sanctuary and to teach the people who had gone astray, to teach those who had not overcome. And that's where we come to. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 44. Let's see here. Verse 6, Ezekiel 44, verse 6, and God says, "And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, O you house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations." In other words, look at your abominations. Look at what you did. And what God is doing here is he's looking backwards at the time of the great apostasy that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us about. Revelation chapter 13, as well as the rest of the book of Revelation and many other scriptures. The time, yes, when even many or most Christians will be deceived into worshiping the false Christ. Many people who say they're Christians, I should say. God says, "I want you to remember your abominations." Now check this out. "In that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to be teachers, ministers, pastors, and priests." He's talking about false pastors. People who don't teach God's word, people who teach New Age doctrines and other kinds of nonsense and garbage. That's what you see in our churches today. God says, "I want you to remember that. To be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house. When you offer my bread, the fat, and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations." In other words, the priests were too lazy. The ministers today are too lazy to do their own work. They don't teach God's word. They leave it up to other people. People who aren't even Christians to do their translating for them. To tell them what things mean. Oh, let's go after God's so-called chosen people. Well, that's another subject for another time. But verse 8, "And you have not kept the charge of mine holy things, but you have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves." In other words, Christian churches today, a great deal of them anyways, have been infiltrated by the enemy, have been infiltrated by the strangers, by those who seek its destruction, whether through their ignorance of their own ambitions, the blindness of their own heart, or whatever. "Thus saith the Lord, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary, or any stranger that is among the children of Israel, and the Levites that are gone astray from me." Now check this out. When he says, "and the Levites that are gone astray from me," this is speaking of those who are supposed to be doing God's work today. Again, God's looking backwards at this time. This is in the future. Take yourself to the millennial age. God's telling everybody what's going on now and what the rules are. And he says, "Hey, those pastors, priests and ministers that claim to stand before me to minister unto the people during that time, they went astray from me. When Israel went astray, which went astray from me after their idols, and they shall bear their iniquity." In other words, God says, "I'm going to hold them accountable." This is a message for you pastors and priests today who aren't teaching God's word, but you're teaching soothsaying messages. This is for you. You might as well read it now so you don't have to go through 1,000 years of purification. God, what does God say? They're going to bear their iniquity. They're going to do it right this time. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge at the gates of my house and ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them. But they're not going to be able to stand before the Lord. In other words, God's saying, hey, you're going to do my work, but this time you're going to do it right. You're going to bear your iniquity, and you're going to work really hard at it. Because they ministered unto them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore, have I lifted up mine hand against them, saith the Lord, and they shall bear their iniquity. They were supposed to be in charge of the holy things. They were supposed to be the ones that would inherit God because they spent their time with him. They were supposed to spend their time studying his word to receive that spirit and that instruction, that love and that give and take of God's thoughts. But they didn't do it. They violated it. They failed. Therefore, the inheritance will cross over to the overcomers, as we're going to read about here. Mine hand shall be against them, saith the Lord, and they shall bear their iniquity, and they shall not come near unto me. Do you remember the Bible verse? And I can't think of it off the top of my head right now, where Christ said, many are going to come to me in that day when I return. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, we did all these wonderful works in your name. We had all these healings. We helped save people. And what Jesus says, when he comes back, he's going to say, get out of my sight. I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. And that's why he said that, because of this right here. All these many, many pastors today are going to have a rude awakening when they get there, because they're afraid to teach God's law. They teach things such as, we don't go by the law anymore. We just have to believe and be saved and get raptured or whatever. Rather than teaching God's law, rather than teaching God's word, line upon line. They say, oh, the law's been done away with. That's nonsense. Matthew chapter 5, Christ declares that it is nonsense. He says, not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law until all be fulfilled. And then you get to the book of Revelation. And it's one big legal proceeding taking place according to God's law. And then it even mentions the people there that are going through the tribulation, God's servants, his remnant. It says that they keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. In other words, they keep his law still. So why are these pastors teaching us we don't follow the law? Because they're giving in to idols, easy way outs, a cheap Christianity that everybody can just buy into. Hey, everybody just come. Jesus' tent is big enough for everybody. You can just do whatever you want. We just have to love and have grace. Christianity does have a great deal of love and grace in it, but it's based off of God's law. Without the foundation, you have nothing. God says, they shall not come near unto me to do the office of priest unto me, nor to come near any of my holy things in the most holy place. They're not going to have access to Christ. They're not going to have access to Almighty God. But you know who will? The overcomers will. That's part of inheriting God. That's part of having God as your inheritance, is to be able to approach him face to face, to be with him. This is going to be a very touching message as we get into it, as we get to the prayer that Christ made to the Father, of what the overcomers get to inherit. So stick, don't leave this message. We're going to get to that. But let's read about the overcomers, the priests, after the order of Melchizedek here. To do the office of priest unto me, nor come near any of my holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Oh, it's okay to, you know, homosexuals can be pastors, ministers. Oh, it's okay to do this or that. It's a, you know, why don't we just accept multiculturalism and diversity? This is all accepting. They're abominations to God. And they're going to bear their shame for teaching people that it's okay. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house. They're going to be on the outside doing the outside work. They're not coming near me, is what God says, but they're going to work. For all the service thereof and for all that shall be done therein. Now here we get to the beautiful part. This part that is for you. Again, if you overcome, it's not freely handed out. It's not freely given. It must be earned. Verse 15. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok. Now that was a specific line in the family of the Levites that would be given this. But what you need to do is translate the word Zadok when we apply this to the overcomers. Because the word Zadok means righteousness. So in other words, God says the priests, the Levites, the sons of righteousness that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me. They did not get deceived. Now, you remember in our last study, we read Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6, when it said there were thrones there and they that sat upon them had not worshipped the image of the beast or received his mark, or the number of his name. There you have it, my friends. The direct correlation right there. We're talking about that group. We're talking about the overcomers that did not go astray, that did not bow a knee to the Antichrist or his new world order, that did not give in. Do you think it's going to be easy? It's not going to be easy. There's going to be a lot of pressure. A lot of slander, a lot of persecution, and yes, some may even have to give their lives for it. We know at least the two witnesses do, and I believe many more. But anyways, if you can't handle that, then you shouldn't be a Christian. Because Christ said, take up your cross and follow me if you're truly going to serve me. Otherwise, leave. Go do something else. Christianity is a very serious thing. And we must realize the implications that come with it so that we're not surprised, so that we're not shaken from our foundation. They shall come near to me to minister unto me. And they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. You know, if you want to understand, if we want to understand what it's going to be like to inherit God, what all that entails, then I think we need to look at all these duties of the priests step by step and put them in the spiritual sense. And then I think we're going to have better grasp what inheriting God himself means. One of the things it means is we can come near to him. We can talk to him one-on-one. To think about that, to talk to the Creator face-to-face. You know, in a marriage, what is the greatest reward that you can have? It's to be able to be with your spouse, to have that fellowship. It's not the material things that come with it, but to have that love and that relationship. And that must be earned in God's... in God's kingdom. God says, they're going to offer me the fat and the blood. They're going to bring the offerings of the people to me, is what God's saying. Verse 16, they shall enter into my sanctuary. They shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. They're going to do things right. They're not going to let things go astray. They're not going to let apostasy happen. They're going to stick to God's law, whether it offends this group, that group, whatever group. Hey, I could give you an example of that. I just taught a lecture a couple weeks ago titled Biblical Racial Requirements. Or I should, maybe it was worded something a little different. It says, do biblical race requirements prohibit Obama from being president? Because there's a law concerning who the Israelites should allow to be their leaders. And one of the leaders was that one of the laws stated that nobody other than an Israelite can lead the nation of Israelites. And that is something that many people would be afraid to teach because they're afraid to be called a racist or something like that. Hey, it's God's word. If you don't like it, then go listen to Satan's doctrine, his word. I know none of you would be listening unless you're just one of those listening to try to cause trouble if you didn't already agree with that. Anyways, they shall keep my charge. Verse 17, it shall come to pass when they shall enter into the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them whilst they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. And, you know, I'm not going to read all the details here, but I want you to read this on your own. Pray about it. Think about it. And then I think you'll better understand what it means, again, to inherit God himself. Because you get these responsibilities. You get to approach God. Verse 23, I'm going to skip on down though. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. That's going to be our primary purpose, is to teach God's law. To teach things that are to say what is an abomination when it is an abomination, such as homosexuality, multiculturalism, and these kinds of things. Hey, those are the clean. That's teaching people to discern between the unclean and the clean. Verse 24, and in controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes and mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. Think about that. Think about that. Think about the thrones that were given to those in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 through 6. The overcomers are going to sit on those thrones, judging the people according to God's law. If you didn't think you had a great deal of responsibility, now you know. And now we're going to know why we must go through that tribulation period, because God needs to refine us to get us ready for this type of leadership. He needs to get rid of all those bad things that are inside of us. Those bad habits, bad tendencies, the selfishness, and so forth. And cleanse them to get us ready to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. A priest of Zadok. And they shall come at no dead person, and so on. Let's go down to verse 28. And it shall be to them, and it shall be unto them for an inheritance. Here's that verse again. I am their inheritance, and they shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. It's a marriage. It's a closeness that other people will not be allowed to have at that time. But the overcomers will. Think about that. Read it. And read this chapter. It says, everything shall be, verse 29, it says, they shall eat the meat offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering, and every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. In other words, there's still tithes and offerings all the way up until the millennium. Because God teaches the principle of sacrifice, of giving. It says every oblation and so forth. Hey, there's great rewards to be given to the overcomers. But hey, let's skip over to John, because we're running out of time here. Let's skip over to John chapter 7. And I'm in Galatians. Let's go to John chapter 7. And like I was saying, I think this chapter holds part of the meaning of what it means to inherit Almighty God. Did I say John 7? I think I meant John 17. Again, too excited. I can't remember where I'm at here. But let's see. Where are we going to pick up? John 17. And Christ is talking about those whom God had given him. And I'm just going to pick it up. He says, verse 15 or verse 14. Let's go to verse 13. I come now, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He's talking about his people, the overcomers. He's saying, I want them to have my joy. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Remember the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil, deliver us from temptation, or keep us from temptation and deliver us from the evil one. My friends, Christ says, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. I pray that you keep them in the world doing the work, but that you keep them from being deceived, from being destroyed. In other words, we're going through the tribulation. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is the truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, so have I also sent them into the world. God's elect, chosen with a destiny and a purpose. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth, cleansed, purified. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which believe on me through their word. My friends, if you want to know what your duty is right now, it's to bring that truth to these people that Christ is talking about. He says, hey, I'm praying. I don't just pray for those whom thou hast given me, those whom are chosen, those whom are elect. I pray for those who the word goes to from my servants. Think about that. 21, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may all be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, now check this out. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Can you think of the promise that was given to the overcomers? It says, Christ said, he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, ruling over the nations. They will be given a rod of iron to dash the nations in pieces if they need to, like potter's vessels. In other words, Christ is praying that his glory be put upon the overcomers as well. 23, and I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. You know what our whole goal here on earth as Christians is? Is to be Christ-like. Is to look at God's Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to model our lives after him. You know, and then when we do, you know, when we look at him as the mark, instead of saying, well, I'm just a good person, when we look at Christ and we use him as our standard, it humbles us because we realize how imperfect we are. But you know what it also does? It makes us move towards being closer like him. Because in humbleness, it draws us closer and closer to his image. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. In other words, Christ wants the world to know that God loves his chosen, his elect, the overcomers. 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me. Now, check this out. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me as an inheritance be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Think about that. Jesus Christ himself is what he's praying for is his inheritance. He says, I want those whom thou hast given me to be with me. to fellowship with me, to have one-on-one time with me. Think about that. If you're an overcomer, this is how bad Christ wants you to be with him. I don't think we could have any greater reward than that, to have that intimate kind of love. And again, it humbles us to think about that, because we look at ourselves, we say, man, I'm a miserable, filthy sinner at times, a lot of times. And then we strive to allow his word, that truth, to cleanse us, to purify us, to get us ready for our duties, to get us ready for that glory that he's going to give us. Which I think can be even the foreshadow of that was seen on the Mount of Transfiguration. To be transfigured into the glory that is given to us by Almighty God. Well, hey, I hope you enjoyed these last two studies. Again, I don't completely know. I don't think anybody does. I don't think anybody has a full grasp of what it means to inherit God. But it must not be taken lightly. For we know that it's the greatest reward that anybody could have. No material thing, no land, no nothing can replace or compare to receiving God as your inheritance, meaning your right to him. That's what inheritance means. It means you have the right to this piece of property or that, but you now have the right to access God himself. You know, I think about the position that Satan had in the first world age. He had the position similar to what Christ is going to offer the overcomers. He himself was a priest. He was decorated with all the stones of like a high priest breastplate. And you know what it said of him? It said that he walked upon the very coals upon the altar of God. Just like the ministers of fire will. Those who tend the altar of God, that keep that flame burning, that flame of sacrifice and love and dedication and zeal. My friends, that's what your duty is. You are a minister of fire. You minister those spiritual fires of truth. And it's a very high position and a very serious responsibility that we have now and even all the way into the eternity. We must take it serious. We must strive to meet that goal, to enter into our rest, our inheritance. And well, I guess we're just going to close it up there. But hey, again, like we always say, because Christ said it in Matthew chapter 4, man does not live by bread alone, but by every single word of God. So see that you consume it. See that you digest it on a daily basis, because it is the daily manna, so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.